Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Father, you know the need of the hour better than we do. Give us the very words to speak that we could accomplish your will. Touch the hearts of those that are listening, that those that are lost could see their need to turn and trust in Jesus. And for those that are saved, that they could see the need to walk close to you and be the light in this world that you'd have them to be. Father, we ask for all these blessings, and Father, we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're picking up in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. After encouraging Timothy on preaching the word and how to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, and even warning him of how many would turn to the sadly, the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. He tells him in verse 9, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Now, this is a very key verse of Scripture because there's a limited amount of time before the Apostle Paul would be beheaded for the gospel of Christ. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus, Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, it's amazing he brings up Mark here because back in the book of Acts, there was a time when he and Barnabas separated over Mark because he thought that Mark wasn't strong enough, didn't have the courage to stand for the truth, and he just wouldn't have nothing to do with him for a time. And it's amazing that now he says he's profitable unto me. It's always good when you see people grow and mature and when you see things work out over time. That's a blessing. While at the same time, you see some people that, you know, are loving the world more than they're loving God and putting that first. And you see the problems there. But he said that he's profitable unto me in the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now, the parchments would have been the written word of God. Maybe he had some of the New Testament with him that, whether he had written or some of the other apostles had written, but yet he's asking for these parchments. You know, the word of God, even in this latter time of his life, even when he's facing death, he still wants to read the Word of God. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to see somebody still get comfort from the Scriptures. Even somebody that could probably quote a lot of the Scriptures, he still wanted to have it in his hands and read it. And so he tells him to bring the books, especially the parchments. He said, "Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." And evidently, this was a man that had greatly fought against God's people and stood against them. And he's just telling him, you know, you've got to be wary of this person. You've got to watch out because he's greatly withstood our words. And evidently, not just was saying, "I don't want to listen to it," but with force. He said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." And even here, you see a mind of forgiveness within the Apostle Paul as he's facing these times. He says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." That's a wonderful passage of Scripture, isn't it? Even though everybody else can forsake you, God will still be with you. Now, that's a wonderful passage of Scripture. You know, there's a lot of times, especially in the day and time in which we live in, it seems like everywhere you turn, left and right, there seems to be people you used to have confidence in, you used to could trust, you used to could depend upon, that whether it's local people or whether it's national people, whoever, it seems like there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of discouragement. I've had ministers that I've greatly respected over the years, and they fall away to sin. And some have made it where they're no longer able to preach. And, you know, you see people just fall for different doctrines. You see people fall for different foolishness and in different ways. And it's amazing over time. There's a lot of discouragement. But while all that's going on, the Apostle Paul said, but God, he said, the Lord stood with me. I want you to know this, and it's very important that we all note this, because I know we're in the falling away period of time, and that doesn't mean everybody has to fall away or every church has to fall away. I've preached that several times. But when you're facing the days in which we're facing, you need to remind yourself that if it's just you and the Lord, that's victory. Don't go with everybody else. Don't go with what everybody else accepts and everybody else does and all these other things. You do what God wants you to do. You stand on the truth of God's Word. You stand with God and you stand faithfully unto the end. There's a lot of times that you might, you know, you might get called names. You might get rebuked. It might even get to the place that as a minister, you don't have many places to preach because people don't want to hear the truth. But I tell you what, it's better to stand with God than with man, no matter the circumstance. And when all people forsake us, God's not going to forsake us if we're standing with Him. And He makes that statement, even though all these others, you know, forsook me, He said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. And not only did He stand with me, He said, and strengthen me. He gave me strength. From a human standpoint, you can understand the discouragement. You can understand all the heartache and all the disappointment. But God strengthens him where he's able to stand. God gives him what he needs, no doubt through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. He said that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Notice what he's saying here. God delivered me. And he's saying God used me. People have been saved. People have been touched. Work has been accomplished and done. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And notice where his eyes are set here. Heaven. Eternity with the Lord. He said a man can do all kinds of things. Again, he's facing death at this time. But yet he's saying, you know what? When they take my life, I'm going home. I'm going to be with the Lord. He's got a place preserved for me in his heavenly kingdom. I know I'm going there. And I know that's what I've got to look forward to. He says, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus, abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Now that may seem like a small statement there in verse 21, but it's a great statement. Come before winter. Now at this time, as we look in the scripture, he would have to take a sea journey to get to Rome in time. So quickest route they had was to go by sea. And if you waited till winter time, nobody wanted to sail the Mediterranean Sea. The storms would just get too violent there, and it would get to the place that you just couldn't sail. It's too dangerous to sail, and most people wouldn't do it. And so he's telling me, you've got an opportunity, you've got a limited time, and you need to do your diligence to come before winter. There's a lot that could be said there, a lot of great example. And one of the things is we've got a short amount of time to work for God. And the thing is, none of us know how long we've got. You might look at yourself and say, I'm healthy, but my goodness, a lot of people don't realize just how many people die in car accidents every year. How many people do you know that have died at war? Been killed in mass shootings, died of a horrible disease. How many do you know? How many do you know that have died in car wrecks? I guarantee you, for most of us, we know more people that have died in car wrecks than any other thing. And yet we take it for granted. There's hardly a person that thinks when they get in their vehicle, I'm going to die. But there's a chance. None of us know what our time is. You know, the Bible teaches over and over again that today, it's not only the day of salvation, today is the day to work for the Lord. Today is the day to do things. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to forgive. Today is the day to get things right. And the reason God puts so much emphasis on that is because none of us know what's going to happen. We have no idea from day to day what's going to come up in our lives. We have assumptions, we have feelings, but we don't know. And that's why I encourage God's people, listen, if God's got some work for you to do, you know when you need to do it? Right now. Come before it's too late. Take care of it before it's too late. You know, I've got children growing up, and there's things that I try to teach them and instruct them in, and they may sometimes feel like, well, Daddy's just really pressuring us, and he's really, you know, trying to nail this stuff down with us. And the reason I am is because I've got a limited time before they're grown. I've got a short amount of time to teach them and to instruct them. Now, the world would just love, you know, let them just go off and figure things out on their own. But God says we're to diligently train up a child in the way that he should go. We're not to let him figure it out. We're to train him in the way that he should go. We're to give him wisdom and righteousness, understanding. Got a short amount of time to do it, though. And for those of you that are lost, you don't know when the Lord's going to return. I don't either. You don't know when you're going to die. I don't either. The Bible says over and over again, today is the day of salvation. Call upon him while he might be found. I have a firm belief. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that enter hell and they go, but God, I was planning on trusting in you. God, I went to church and God, I listened to the messages and I just hadn't trusted in you yet. But the thing is, once we're dead, we're dead. Our opportunity's right now. And there's people that feel like, well, I can put off salvation later. And I can take care of it at some later date and later time. But you're not promised that time. And it breaks my heart to think there might be people listening that are going to remember these words. When they face judgment, they're going to say, I had this opportunity, and I let it pass. Come before winter. Come before it's too late. See, if he waited till after winter, the Apostle Paul was probably going to be dead. His sentence was going to be carried out. Being killed for the gospel of Christ. And he's saying, if you're coming, Timothy, come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter, because It'll be too treacherous to pass, and you won't get here in time. If you're going to bring me those books, if we're going to have a conversation, if we're going to talk, have a, you know, that one last conversation, so to speak, if you're going to bring me those things, if we're going to be an encouragement to Mark and the others, we got this window. But then it's gone. God tells us that right now, He said, I've set before you an open door. There's an open door set before us. But the Bible also says that one day, God's going to shut that door and no man can open it. You know, once that door is shut, it's just like Noah when he got on the ark and God shut that door. Once it was shut, there was no opening it. No matter how hard somebody banged on the door and somebody said, oh, I believe now. I believe what God said now. Once the door shut, it's too late. Way too many people are putting things off that they need to get done today. There's saved people that need to get back into church. There's saved people that need to make apologies and get things right in their life. There's people that need to repent of certain sins in their life. There's men that need to go to their wives and tell them where they've wronged them and get things right. There's wives that need to go to their husband and get things right. There's parents need to get things right with children. Children get things right with their parents. And you know, there's people at church that need to forgive one another and put the gospel ahead of their own personal ills or personal disagreements and get past all that they can be the church and the light in this world that God would have them to be. There's churches that need to repent and turn back to God while there's time and stop going by their worldly ways and start going by the Word of God. There's a lot of things that need to be done, but a short amount of time to do it. Come before winter. Come before it's too late. You need to take heed to that message. You need to listen to it, especially if you're lost. You might say, well, God's been dealing with me, but I'm young. I got plenty of time ahead of me. You don't know that. Come before winter. You look at the world today. If you're lost, I pray that you'd pay me close attention for just a moment. Would you look at the world today? For those that are my age, and I don't feel like I'm that old, but certainly things have changed a whole lot in the past 10 years. And even things before that, I mean, things have been rapidly changing. I mean, my goodness, I can remember so far back when the church used to be about halfway split between Democrats and Republicans. Used to be that way. But my goodness, Democrats have gone so far away from John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy would be lucky if he was allowed to be the Republican nominee. He was so conservative compared to what we're seeing now. But I can tell you, I can remember some things that used to be stood for by all Christians, no matter where you turn. That nowadays, there's churches that used to be strong, and you don't know where they stand anymore. Sin and iniquity is abounding. All kinds of sins that just a few years ago wouldn't have been accepted are now being talked about in pulpits as being need for acceptance. And what I'm saying is there's a great falling away going on. There's a great amount of sin coming in. There's a great amount of falsehood that's happening in churches. And if you look at all that, know the truth of it by Scripture, let me ask this question. What's left for God to send His Son? And listen, it could be 100 more years before Christ comes back. It could be 200 more years for all I know. I'm not looking for it to be that long, but I'm just making the statement that I don't know the exact date that he's returning. It could be tomorrow, though, too, couldn't it? It could be today. There's a whole lot of scripture that's been fulfilled. When God closes the door, are you ready? And even if the Lord doesn't come for another 100, 200 years, how do you know how long you're going to live? There's so much of life we take for granted. And the assumption of tomorrow is one of the biggest falsehoods that we live by. You say, well, the chances are we'll see tomorrow. What happens when that chance runs out for you? Yeah, chances are when you put $7 billion into the equation, the chances are that most of us are going to live to see tomorrow. If there is a tomorrow, the Lord hasn't returned. That's something that's hard for us to put into an equation because we've never been faced with it before. There's a day when that's coming. But to say this, for the person who died today in a car wreck, they might have woke up and said, well, chances are I'll see tomorrow. The person that had a heart attack today might have looked healthy, might have been just fine and going about their daily life, and all of a sudden they're gone. We need to see the truth. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed. When he made that statement, do thy diligence to come before winter, he was saying, come before it's too late. We need to take heed to that message. We need to pay close attention to it. Whether you're saved or you're lost, you need to take advantage of today and what God is offering to you today. He said, Ebulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now at the end of this, he's saying, I want the Lord to be with you. Nothing more important than that. He knew he couldn't be with him anymore, as he was going to die. But he knew this, the Lord could be with him. Sometimes people say, well, this preacher's no longer with us. What are we going to do? Same Lord that helped him, the same Lord that can help us. Man, we lost this pillar at the church. What are we going to do now? The same thing that made him a pillar of the church can help us to be a pillar of the church if we choose. What we need to have is the Lord with us. And we with the Lord. If we got the grace of God and the strength of God, we'll be fine. But if we're looking to ourselves, if we're trusting our own works, our own strength, our own merit, we're going to fail. We need the Lord. Paul knew what Timothy needed to carry on. And for the person to come after him, what they would need to carry on, and the person after him, what they would need to carry on, it's the Lord. It's the truth of God's Word and the aid of His Holy Spirit. It's what we need. It's the same thing we need today. Are we depending upon that? Are we trusting in it? Or are we depending upon us? Today, I want to encourage you. The same thing that Timothy needed, the same thing that Paul needed, was that the Lord be with thy spirit. And dear friend, I pray it's with yours too. Before we close, as always, we do want you to know that you can feel free to call or write us at any time. And we do mean that. My number is 601-606-4681. You can call me, you can text me. If I'm away from my phone, I'll get back with you as soon as I can. If you want to email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's B-R-O-B-R-A-N-D-O-N-H at AOL.com. You can also look us up at FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. That's all one word, FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. Have any problems finding that, just Google Faithway Missionary Baptist, and it should pull the website up. Again, there's other ministers on there. We've got a link to our doctrinal beliefs that you're more than, you can feel more than free to look at those, and certainly call us if you have any questions on any of that. We also want to give out our mailing address if you'd like to mail a letter. You can mail it to Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. And you can also come and visit with us in service. We have 9 o'clock service on Sundays at New Zion in Richland. We certainly love and appreciate the people at New Zion. They're a good little church and just good people, and I would recommend them to anyone that would be willing to come. The address there is 341 Cochran Road, Richland, Mississippi, 39476. Again, they have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. We have 11:30 service, 4 o'clock Sunday evening service, and 7 o'clock Tuesday night service at Faith in Mobile, Alabama. Their address is 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama, 36608. Again, find people there. I know that they'd make you feel welcome. You just come and visit anytime you'd like. Also, if you're not in the Mobile area, you're not in the Richland area, there are other preachers, other churches that we know throughout Mississippi, some in Alabama, some in Louisiana, even a place or two in Arkansas and Texas. There are just different places around. If we can help you find a church to go to, that's our goal. It's not about us. It's about the Lord and you being where God wants you to be. And we'd be glad to help you in that in any way that we can. Again, our number is 601-606-4681. And again, we pray that God could use this message to be a blessing and encouragement to you. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we come thanking you for your word and what it means to us. Father, we're thankful for the blessings of your word that helps us to see salvation through Christ alone, that helps us to know right from wrong, good from evil, the right doctrines from the wrong doctrines. Father, we're so thankful that you gave us your word, that we could study it, rightly divided by the aid of your Holy Spirit, that, Father, it could be used to touch the hearts of others. Father, you know the need of others better than we do. And Father, we pray that you would touch hearts through your word as only you can. Again, we're thankful for the opportunity to come on this radio program and be able to share your word with others. And we pray that through it you could touch many lives. Father, you also know the prayer requests that have been mentioned to us. You know those that are sick, those that are dealing with pregnancies, and those that have lost loved ones, and those just going through difficult times in their life. Father, you know each one. And Father, we pray that you would look down and bless as only you can. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.